I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Just on the eve of Election Day, although it's basically been election month, you'd have to say at this point. Lots of rain today. What kind of impact does that have on voter turnout for those still hoping to vote absentee in person today? And then, of course, tomorrow, same thing. We're supposed to get more rain. So I don't know what kind of impact that's going to have. Hopefully, we've banked enough votes that it's not going to make a difference. I don't know. But you always worry about those things. And now we're facing so many important issues on the ballot this year. Not the biggest of all, in my opinion, when you get away from the presidential race and the Senate races and all that, is Amendment Number 3, right? This is the reproductive health amendment. I call it the abortion on demand amendment. You call it what you want. What impact is this going to have potentially on the state of Missouri and maybe laws that are already in place in the state of Missouri? We got John Sauer with us this morning, former Solicitor General from Missouri, and great to have him back on here. John, how are you?
Doing great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. So, you know, I noticed, I saw this the other day as well, that Jamie Reed, who was the whistleblower that helped expose what was going on at the Transgender Center over here at Washington University, she put out a very thoughtful tweet about, you know, the state of Missouri has put a ban on underage people being given this transgender puberty blockers and all that. Amendment 3 blows all that out of the water, right?
I think that's very likely. I think Amendment 3 is a Trojan horse amendment that's written these extremely broad, vague terms that don't signal to the voters that they're doing things like, you know, creating a fundamental right to transgender care and sex reassignment surgery. But it's also written in a way that's calculated to maximize the chances that the courts are going to hold that after the election if it passes. So if you look at the phrase, all matters relating to reproductive health care, which is the right that's created in Section 2 of the amendment, the question is, are the courts going to say that transgender treatment, sex reassignment surgery, things of that nature, are those reproductive health care? Yeah. Well, to the ordinary voter, they don't see the word transgender in there, so it doesn't set off an alarm bell. But if you look at legal sources, if you look at federal statutes and regulations, if you look at the way that medical authorities, including Planned Parenthood itself, use the phrase reproductive health care, they pretty consistently use it in a way that includes transgender treatments. So if you go into the ballot box and you pull the lever for Amendment 3, very likely you're voting for a fundamental right to transgender treatments for minors, even children, including sex reassignment surgery.
You have to wonder if more of these clinics would then pop up, right? They're just kind of waiting for this to happen, for it to be enshrined in our state constitution.
I think that's a significant foreseeable consequence of this. And of course, to an extent, many of those clinics really did pop up in the last few years because, of course, Planned Parenthood went into sort of transgender treatments in a really big way. Planned Parenthood, a huge proponent and supporter of Amendment 3, is already gone heavily into the transgender treatment business, which is a very profitable business. So if you're a voter and you like to follow the money, that money should lead you to Planned Parenthood's website, where they use the phrase reproductive health care to include gender-affirming care.
Wow. Yeah, and we've already talked about some of the other potential risks here, John, including parents losing control. You know, their kid can't take a Tylenol at school, but it certainly looks like there's wording in here that would allow their kids' pronouns to be changed, a variety of different things that they would potentially lose control over.
And that's exactly correct. That should be a grave concern for all Missouri voters. For example, the rights are conferred on persons. Missouri law and the criminal code and the probate code and the Dictionary Act consistently uses persons to include children from infancy, even unborn children, all the way through up through death. So person, make no mistake, this amendment is conferring rights on children, including minors. And what are those rights that are conferred? It's a right to late-term abortions. That's in Section 4 of the amendment, as well as Section 2. It's a right to transgender treatments. And it says that the state cannot infringe on any persons. Keep in mind, that's children and minors. Cannot infringe on any person's autonomous decision-making. So that's going to be cited to invalidate any kind of parental notification or parental consent requirement before children can get an abortion, before children can get a sex, you know, transgender treatments, hormone therapy, even sex reassignment surgery. So this is a broadly phrased and potentially radical amendment.
The fact that this would be enshrined potentially in our state constitution if people vote yes on this, I don't know if people understand the gravity of that. This isn't like, you know, the state legislature is voting on this. I mean, this is something that's going to be in our state constitution, and you'd have to do another initiative petition, whole, you know, shenanigans, basically, to get it reversed, right? Get it back on the ballot.
That's exactly right. And that's a very important point that some of the commentators on the other side have been missing or misrepresenting. Any statute that we have, for example, you referred to the statute that currently bans certain treatments for minors. Once an amendment to the Constitution is passed, it automatically supersedes and invalidates any statute that's inconsistent with it. So if this is put into the Constitution itself, the legislature can't pass statutes creating all these common sense rules and regulations and requirements and affirming parents' rights, to the extent the courts hold that it's inconsistent with what's now in our Constitution. So that's a grave risk that the voters should weigh.
Yeah. John Sauer is our guest. Now, John, I know that you've represented President Trump, I believe, in the immunity case, correct?
Yes, unrelated to the current discussion. I did have the privilege of doing that.
Yeah. And I just wondered, I mean, do you have any feeling for how things are going around the country and leading up to tomorrow?
Well, I'm on the legal side. I'm not in the political side, and don't talk to the political side. So this is just the humble opinion of a voter who gets his news from the same sources as everybody else. But I'm very optimistic. I think that our country is looking at the radical overreaches of the last 4 years, which Amendment 3, I point out, is completely consistent with those radical overreaches. It's a furtherance at the state level of the radical overreaches we saw from the Biden administration. And I think the voters across the country, common sense Americans, are going to repudiate all that.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. John Sauer, listen, we really appreciate your time this morning, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. John Sauer, a former Solicitor General from Missouri. He was with Will Scharf on that immunity case for Donald Trump as well. So
you forget that Trump is still facing all of these.
Oh, I know.
You know what I mean? We've been so focused on the election.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, that's going to determine what potentially could happen to him because he was elected.
And I was just looking. A friend of mine just sent me this morning, just before the top of the hour, a video over at the Daniel Boone Library there in Ellisville.
Mm-hmm.
And he is among the first people in line. But the rain is pouring. They've all got umbrellas out. And they're probably, this was as of 6:45, only about six people in line over there this morning. So I wonder if the weather is having an impact.
You know, what's funny. I feel like the Democrats would be the ones to try to hand out like Kamala Harris umbrellas. And then they would say you can't have those. And then you'd hear the story on, you know, the nightly news, KSDK, KMOV, saying they don't want you to have umbrellas. They want to force you to stand in the rain and get soaking wet.
That is absolutely.
They hate you.
Have a Harris umbrella. We'll cover you. We got you covered.
Oh, my gosh. What a line.
Right?
Yeah.
We got you covered. The Republicans don't want us to cover you. That's exactly what
they want you
what
to suffer.
All right, coming up, we're going to get to real or fake news as the reigning champion. I am looking forward to that. Carl Middleman,
come on, give me a break.
Standing by. Mark Lotter is going to join us at the bottom of the hour to get his thoughts on Election Day Eve. We'll be right back.
A clear view of the roads from the Window World Traffic Center.
What a mess of a commute this morning. And of course, we've got wet roadways, which are not helping, which are probably the cause. But here we go. accident. The latest one is southbound 55 south of Rivas Barracks. Now, I'm looking at this one on the Cordell and Cordell domestic litigation firm cameras. Of course, another one in the construction zone. This one is in the right lane. And this is in such a tricky part of it, the curves and everything else. So we've got a slow go behind it. Now, it's southbound, so it's going against rush hour. It could be worse. There is an accident northbound 55 at Highway M, that one in the left lane. There was an accident reported in North County North, New Halls Ferry at Patterson. Accident westbound 6440 at Market. Now, this one has been blocking. There's only been one lane getting by, and it's created a parking lot jam back across the Poplar Street Bridge, almost to the 70 split. So it's a real mess for Illinois drivers this morning because of this accident on the Missouri side. Now, it looks to me like they've cleared the accident northbound 55 at Virginia. Hopefully things will start to thin out behind that. There was an accident up north, eastbound 270, east of 170. This one involving two vehicles. One was a tractor trailer. They've been blocking the left lane. And there was another spun out vehicle out west. This one, eastbound 64, past 94. It looks like that one is gone. But we have a little bit of volume east of Winghaven if you're traveling out in that area. So a lot going on this morning. Just be careful. From the Window World Traffic Center, I'm Sue Thomas. 718 at 97.1, St. Louis's home for conservative talk.
We are fighting the fake news.
Real or fake?
Fake. Phony. Fake.
News quiz.
It is time for the real or fake news quiz, where I give the people in the studio headlines, and they have to tell me if they are real or fake. Last week, Mark Cox won.
Yes, I did. Thank you.
And so Ethan is out this couple of days, so Drew is in. Hi, Drew.
Hello. ¿Cómo estás?
We are going to start with Mr. Cox.
All right.
Because
I'm ready.
You are a returning
reigning
champion.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You just inflate his head, by the way, when you say that.
Yes, but when you win, you act
you
that
do
way.
Right.
I don't think I do.
I've heard it.
Thank
I've
you,
heard
Carl.
It.
I am impartial and don't care who wins.
Yeah, thank you.
Real or fake, Mark Cox? Tractor Supply has announced a chicken feed Zin flavor. Real or fake? You know what Zin is?
Yes. I'll say fake.
Kim, say notch.
I'll say real.
Drew Young.
I don't know if Zin is a flavor, so I'm going to say... Wait, it's a Zin flavor?
Zin flavor. Chicken feed.
So it's chicken feed or it's Zin?
It's Zin,
it's a Zin flavored
like chicken feed.
Chicken.
All right, I'm going to say real.
It's fake.
Ah, thank you. Had
Mark
to be
Cox.
Fake.
Mark Cox is the only one that got
chickens have enough energy. You don't want to gin them up on that.
Kim St. Ange, real or fake? Candy is the biggest source of sugar in the American diet.
No. Fake.
Drew Young.
Well, last time I just went with Kim's answer. I want to say real.
I'm going to say fake.
It's real? No, I lied.
Oh, what?
It's fake.
Thank you.
It's fake. Kim is right. You were wrong, Drew. So, yes.
What is it?
Sugar and sugary drinks, like
sodas
energy
and stuff
drinks.
Like that. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Drew Young. See, now you can't glom off of Kim. Real or fake? This is also candy related. A trick or treat size Kit Kat has more sugar than a box of Nerds. Real or fake?
I'm going to say. Can you say it one more time?
A trick-or-treat sized Kit Kat has more sugar than a mini box of Nerds.
I'm going to say...
Real or fake?
Real.
Mark Cox.
I'm going to say real.
I'll say real.
Kim St. Ange. It's fake.
Okay.
Kit Kat has 8 grams of sugar, a mini box of Nerds, which is all sugar, by the way, 11.
It's not even
sugar.
Worth it. Nerds aren't
Who
even
knew?
That good.
I love Nerds. Mark Cox.
Yes.
Real or fake? Graveyards are called graveyards because they are attached to churches, while cemeteries can be anywhere. Real or fake?
Fake.
Kim St. Notch.
That sounds just weird enough to maybe be true, but I want to say fake, but I'm going to say real.
So your final answer is real?
Yeah.
So his graveyards are named graveyards.
Because they're attached to churches, and cemeteries can be just about anywhere. Real or fake?
I'm going to say real.
It is fake. Mark Cox got that one right. Just one's German and one's British.
Ah, thank you.
Okay. Kim St. Ange. I knew that. I know my German.
Kim St. Ange, real or fake, a Big Mac has more calories than the United States has billionaires. Real or fake?
I'll say real.
Drew Young.
I've gotten everyone wrong so far, so let's go fake.
Mark Cox.
A Big Mac has more
Than the U.S. has billionaires. Real or fake?
I would say that's real.
Drew Young, what did you say?
Is this a chicken Big Mac?
He said fake.
He said fake?
Yeah.
Drew, you got one right.
There we go.
Fake. I think I've gotten everyone wrong.
How many billionaires do we have?
No, you've got one right.
I'm off my game.
According to Forbes, the United States has 813 billionaires, while the Big Mac has 590 calories.
Oh, I thought it was like 1,000
calories. I did,
too. Yeah,
I thought it was way more than that.
All right. Yeah, me too.
Okay.
All right, who's up? I think it's Mark Cox. Mark Cox, real or fake? According to new studies, this is my last. No, I'm not going to say
that. This is double the points, right?
All
right.
No.
No.
We know Mark's going
to
win.
Real or fake? According to new studies, it is not possible for children to get sugar highs. Real or fake?
Fake.
Kim St. Ange.
Fake.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free health care. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Definitely fake.
Wow, that's the only one that was real.
And you know, come on!
That's the only one. But Mark, you should still be happy. You won.
Thank you. I have seen children stoned on sugar. I know they can get sugar highs. Are you kidding me? Like I just saw it Tuesday night.
New studies say.
No, studies from just where? Because a study says it doesn't mean anything.
Studies
just because,
funded
seriously,
by,
they tried to say a study shows the COVID vaccine was effective.
Yeah,
come on now.
That's true.
But that was my only story that was real. Everything else was fake. So
wow,
all of you that say,
Carl,
I just do fake ones every once in a while.
You feel a little bitter about that, Carl?
No, it's just I wanted to change it up. Because you keep saying, well,
coming
he
up,
hasn't done a fake one.
Mark Lotter with more on Election Day tomorrow. Stay tuned for that.
I think your poll showing it being tied nationally is more accurate because I think that's the feeling that I get on the ground. This is a very tight race. It's going to be decided on Tuesday. But the momentum in the last week that I felt on the ground, including yesterday being at that Penn State football game, is that the energy from all demographics is very, very positive. And in Pennsylvania, Trump's going to win because of the energy issues. Pennsylvania, he's going to win Michigan because of the auto workers.
Yeah.
And so I think in some of these swing states, it's in Trump's favor.
That is Governor Doug Burgum there out on the trail for Donald Trump and acting as a surrogate in the media. We've got Mark Lotter back with us. Always love having Mark on here, former special assistant to President Trump and with the America First Policy Institute. Mark, how are you feeling this morning?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you feeling about
I love your intro music, by the way. That hasn't been heard in way too long. I know what that music is.
I have to tell you, I said to Carl, you're playing Rush Limbaugh? He goes, it's the Pretenders. I'm like, okay, I got it. That's
yeah, sure.
Fine. That's fine. I'll take credit for it, though. Thank you. Yeah, that's we've been missing that message far too long, for sure.
Yep.
How you feeling about tomorrow?
I feel good. I mean, it's close. Look, there's no question about it, but I would rather be Donald Trump than Kamala Harris for one simple reason. If you look at where the Real Clear Politics average is today, it's roughly tied, 1/10 of a point in favor of Donald Trump. But 4 years ago, Joe Biden was leading by 7. And 8 years ago in 2016, Hillary Clinton was leading by more than 3. So when you look at, you know, she was leading by 3 in 2016, he won. Joe Biden was leading by 7 in 2020, and it came down to 43,000 votes in 3 states. To be tied in the national average and in about 5 of the 7 swing states, it tells me the race right now is Donald Trump's, but you got to get out there and seal the deal and vote.
Yeah.
It seems like the Harris campaign is kind of panicking at this point, because I just saw how CNN was calling out Harris for airing 2 completely different messages on the Hamas-Israel war, depending on where you live. So there was one version that was airing in Michigan and a completely different version that was airing in Pennsylvania.
Well, they're clearly desperate. I mean, they've been throwing stuff at the wall here for about the past 2 weeks, just trying to hope that something would stick. I mean, think about it. We are literally going and jumping from fake crisis to fake crisis, whether it was the Madison Square Garden rally and the horrible joke that was told there. Then it was something, you know, that he supposedly said. Then it was something else he supposedly said. I mean, they're literally just jumping from issue to issue because they've got nothing else.
Well, this morning they're claiming that he threatened to shoot the mainstream media, or he wished they'd get shot or something, at his speech when he was talking about the glass wall that was protecting him on all sides. He said, except this side over here, that's where the media is. Basically, I guess they'd get hit first if somebody tried to shoot me from that side. Whether it's that or Liz Cheney, you're right. That if that's what their messaging has to be, they're in trouble. And now the whole world is distracted by a dead squirrel.
Yeah, I mean, and it just goes to show you, I mean, we've seen this for about the past 3 weeks or so. They gave up joy and vibes.
Yeah.
They realize that there's no more that you can say about why you should vote for Kamala, because there really isn't one. So they had to just make the entire narrative, the entire closing argument was against Trump. Don't vote for me, vote against him. And they're forgetting one key element, that he's not a hypothetical president. He has a record. He has a record of low inflation, low gas prices, a secure border, and a world that wasn't at war. And her record is the exact opposite. And her plans, if she has any, are really nothing different than more of the same, which the American people have largely said, no, we don't like.
Yeah. No, I agree. I wonder, I saw this poll, sort of an outlier in my opinion, but it was like the Des Moines Register.
Yeah, it's Des Moines Register.
Showing that that she's ahead in Iowa. But every other poll I've seen shows him ahead by 10. Is that just an outlier, or should is there a reason for concern?
No, it's absolutely an outlier. And look, Ann Seltzer, who does that poll, is considered the gold standard of pollsters, so I give her full credit, but even she can get it wrong once in a while. None of the demographics that are in play in Iowa would favor Kamala Harris. It's largely a rural state. It's largely a very evangelical state. It's you don't see a lot of the base vote. You know, you don't have a large communities of color. You don't have a lot of union members. It's rural, and it's all about Donald Trump. And so, you know, look, even among the best, you can get it wrong once in a while, and this one is clearly that case for Ann Seltzer in that Iowa poll.
Mark, when do you think we're actually going to get results? You think we'll know Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, or you think this could, you know, stretch out to Thursday or maybe even into Friday?
Nah, you're going to put me on the spot. I'm going to make a bold statement. I believe we're going to know Wednesday morning. I'm predicting around 3:30 a.m., roughly around the same time we knew in 2016 or so, because here's the one thing that I'm saying why. Republicans have done an amazing job of closing the early vote gap that we have. Democrats will still have that gap in most states. They'll still be ahead on the early vote. Republicans win the day of vote. But we've done such a great job, especially in the battlegrounds, of closing that gap. And so the example I'll use quickly, on election night in 2020, we went to bed with Trump up about 800,000 votes or so in Pennsylvania. We wake up the next day and he's losing by a couple of hundred thousand votes. That vote advantage they had of a million or a million plus votes is now down under 300,000. And so if we go to bed on election night with an 800,000 vote lead, the decision desks at all the networks and at all the major outlets are going to go, there aren't enough votes left for her to be able to come back.
Yeah. Because we closed that gap. So therefore, we've got to call, even though we don't want to, we're going to have to call the race for Pennsylvania for, say, Trump.
Well, 3 o'clock's about the time I normally get up, so nobody's going to get any sleep tomorrow night.
I'm going to be with NBC News tomorrow night all night, and I think I'm scheduled to be on until like 3 a.m. So I'm hoping get it right before we get it before I go and try to get a nap.
Wow, yeah, I think we're all going to need a nap in the next couple days for sure. Mark Glotter, we always appreciate your insight on this stuff, my friend. Thank you.
Buckle up. Here we go.
Here we go. Yeah, but we'll talk to you soon. Mark Glotter, America First Policy Institute there. And, you know, he's been around the game a long time. Somebody texted me this morning, a good friend of mine, and said, honestly, how are you feeling about this? And I'm like, you know, I'm nervously optimistic. I don't want to get my hopes up too much and have them dashed. And maybe a lot of people are feeling that way. But for the very reason Mark Glotter pointed out there, Republicans have closed the gap on this early voting thing in every major state where it matters significantly. They've closed it. If you listen to my interview earlier with the guy from Rasmussen, he said that some people are worried about the fact that Republicans borrowed against what would normally be their voting day turnout by early voting. And then some people are arguing, well, what they get on election day is not going to be as big as it would be normally because all these people have voted early. And he said, but even among those planning to vote on election day, Trump still wins by 8 points. That reassures me a little bit when I hear that coming out of somebody of the stature of Rasmussen polling.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm scared to say this on the air, but I think Trump has it. But I don't want to get too comfortable because I think about 2016 now. Again,
yes.
I voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016. I know.
Clipper mic.
I know.
Turn it off.
Okay, I did. I was one of the people who was stunned and upset when Trump won. Okay, have some grace for me. I voted for him then 4 years later and proudly voted for him again. But, I mean, we saw what happened. In fact, my family, we were just talking about it. Everyone went to bed thinking that Trump, you know, was going to win, and then you wake up and
doop, yeah,
2020. It's like all these years where you think you know what's going to happen, it can change. 2016, 2020, now we know what happened in 2020. But again, all this, you can't even go to bed now feeling like, okay, I know I'm going to wake up and this is going to be the winner. Things can change.
We were in 2016 in the old Emma Studios doing election night coverage. And of all the publications you could imagine that first called the probability of Trump winning, it was the New York Times probability meter, pegged to red at about, I don't know, maybe it's close to midnight that night.
I was going
to
say, I thought it was late, yeah.
And it took a while for the networks to finally call it, like Mark said. But it was the New York Times probability meter that showed Donald Trump winning in 2016. And it was shocking, right? So I'm going to be monitoring that again this year, just among the many news sources I'll be looking at tomorrow night, for sure, just to see. That is behind a paywall, I'll just warn you. But that is one of the sources I'm going to be using tomorrow night. All right, Kim, what are we talking about today in Kim on a Whim?
I have 5 words for you all this morning, and that is justice for Peanut and Fred.
Enough said. We'll be right back.
I would like to do a very brief moment of silence here this morning for Peanut the Squirrel and Fred the Raccoon. Please bow your heads. Thank you very much. In all seriousness, this story is just crazy. I love that the state of New York has enough resources to go raid a man's home, some 5-hour raid where he had to sit outside. He had to have a police escort to go to the bathroom, he says. And they end up taking his pet squirrel, Peanut, that he'd had for 7 years. The squirrel had its own social media account that had hundreds of thousands of followers on TikTok. He had another pet raccoon named Fred. Took both of them. Supposedly someone involved in the investigation was bit by the squirrel. So they ended up euthanizing both of them. This guy's crushed. You hear him there in the video he posted, crying. His wife is crying. So New York doesn't have the resources, the time to investigate actual crime that's killing people, like gang violence and rapes and all of these terrible things, these businesses that are being broken into. But, Mark, they have plenty of time to go raid a man's home over a guy who was not supposed to have a squirrel and a raccoon because I guess some neighbor got ticked off and ratted him out.
Yeah, yeah. This is the same government that'll tell you they won't be by to take your guns. But they are going to come in and kick the door in and kill your pet squirrel.
Right.
Now, the guy wasn't licensed.
Right.
Okay? I get that. But he had applied for the license, and it was pending that. And then some neighbor called and complained, and they basically went into the house, held he and his wife back while they rounded up his pet squirrel, and then took it off and murdered it without him even having a say in it. They're killing the cats, and they're eating the cats, and now they're killing the squirrels.
Now, it is weird he had a pet squirrel, okay? Like, I acknowledge that. Apparently, the squirrel's mom or dad was killed, got run over or something, and this guy took in the squirrel 7 years ago, and he would put little cowboy hats on the squirrel. It's actually pretty cute. And this is coming from someone who strongly dislikes squirrels. I mean, I would love to kill one in my backyard because they chew up our patio furniture. But this little squirrel, Peanut, was very cute. He had a little hat on sometimes, and he would eat waffles. It was like a dog. I mean, it was almost as if the squirrel was trained.
Almost like the squirrel was trained. You know what it reminded me of, don't you? Reminded me of
Dolly,
this.
Think, there must be something really rotten we can do today.
I'm thinking, but the worst I come up with is helping to make Moose and Squirrel show 1 hour longer.
And Boris and Natasha, he loved saying squirrel, the way he said squirrel.
Squirrel. I think you have to roll the R.
Yeah, there you have it. I don't know why this was such a big deal this weekend, but Donald Trump put out a big post on it on Truth Social about this is the government. This is the argument by the other party on why government should have complete control over your lives, more regulations. Now they're coming in and killing your pets.
Yeah. You want more of this? Vote Kamala Harris
for president. Those are real tears. If you listen to those people, their emotional reaction on Instagram, that post you played, they're torn up over this.
Oh, yeah.
They're torn up. I have no idea where they stand politically, but they're angry right now at their government for sure. Mm. Coming up, Jesse Jane Duff on the eve of Election Day. Does it get any better than having a Marine gunnery sergeant on here, head of veterans for Trump, the day before the big election? We're going to be back with that coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.